Today's episode is brought to you by the world's worst thesaurus. Not only is it awful, it's awful. Welcome to episode 4 of Wait, What Just Happened? I'm Terrence.
I'm Megan.
And introducing our guest this week is another one of our Potter podcasting friends, Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm not going to speak for Megan. I don't know how well she's doing. So.
I'm fantastic.
That's great. Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I don't think we've mentioned this on last week's episode, but you both used to host a Disney podcast.
Used is now like we do again. We have revamped it.
Literally just started back up.
Oh, I'm so excited for this.
Terrence has been on it.
I have. Yeah. We discussed, oh my gosh, I can't remember that far back. Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, it was Alice.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. But yeah, we're called Grown Up Kids. And we do a chronological watch through. So like, you know, from literally first movie animated, all the live actions. We're somewhere in the 60s right now.
All right, the next movie that we're doing is That Darn Cat.
There are a lot of Disney movies. I never realized how many there were until I think it was maybe a couple of months before I was scheduled to appear on one of your episodes that you said, hey, go ahead and sign up for one. And I was looking through the list and... oh my gosh, there's just like so many I never thought of, like so many in the 70s.
We'll probably finish somewhere around like 2082.
And we always have new content coming.
Well, thank you to everyone for tuning in for another episode, and we appreciate you being here. It is now the month of March. I thought it would be fun to kind of give a little bit of history about the month of March itself. So the name of March comes from Martius. I want to say Martius or, you know, somebody else probably look at it and say Martius. I don't know. The first month of the earliest Roman calendar. It was named after Mars, the Roman god of war and an ancestor of the Roman people through his sons Romulus and Remus. Oh. Many other cultures and religions still celebrate the beginning of the new year in March as well. And for those of you that didn't know, Romulus and Remus were also the founders of Rome.
And also the best Harry Potter character.
Yes. Hands down.
That's true. I was, God, your mind goes straight to Harry Potter. Mine went straight to Star Trek for Romulus.
And always.
And for those of you that didn't know, March is also Women's History Month here in the United States. We've all heard the term, beware the Ides of March, right?
Bad things happen in March.
Yeah, historically, March really doesn't seem to have a very good track record. and you'll see what I mean. There's a couple of important anniversaries in March that... we're going to run through here. So let's start. March 1st, 1781, it was the formal ratification of the Articles of Confederation announced by Congress. Under the Articles, Congress was the sole governing body of the new American national government, consisting of the original 13 states. The Articles remained in effect through the Revolutionary War until 1789, when the U.S. Constitution was adopted. A lot of firsts in March. March 4th, 1789, the first meeting of the new Congress under the U.S. Constitution took place in New York City. March 5th, a little bit more recent, in 1946, the Iron Curtain speech was delivered by Winston Churchill at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. Churchill used the term to describe the boundary in Europe between free countries of the West and nations of the Eastern Europe under Soviet Russia's control. March 6th, 1836, the Alamo, just down the street from me, and I see it every single day, fell to Mexican troops led by General Santa Anna. In March 10th, 1862, the first issue of U.S. government paper money occurred as $5, $10, and $20 bills began circulation. Okay, here's one that'll hit home for all of us here. March 11th, 1918, the Spanish influenza first reached America as 107 soldiers became sick at Fort Riley, Kansas. One quarter of the U.S. population eventually became ill from the deadly virus, resulting in 500,000 deaths. The death toll worldwide approached 22 million by the end of 1920. Yeah.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Vaguely familiar, right? That is, that's awful. And literally 102 years to the day, almost.
Crazy. Even like the 500,000 deaths, like we literally just hit that not too long ago.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
March 15th, 44 BC. Here we go with our boy Julius Caesar, assassinated in the Senate chamber in Rome by Brutus and fellow conspirators. After first trying to defend himself against murderous onslaught, Caesar saw Brutus with a knife and asked, "Et tu, Brute? You too, Brutus?" Caesar then gave up the struggle and was stabbed to death. March 19, 2003, the United States launched an attack against Iraq to topple dictator Saddam Hussein from power.
My gosh, that was March 2?
Yeah. Oh my God. March 24th, 1989, one of the largest oil spills in U.S. history occurred as the oil tanker Exxon Valdez ran aground in Prince William Sound off Alaska, resulting in 11 million gallons of oil leaking into the natural habitat over a stretch of 45 miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
March 27th, 1977, the worst accident in the history of civil aviation occurred as two Boeing 747 jets collided on the ground in the Canary Islands, resulting in 570 deaths. And finally, March 30th, 1981, newly elected President Ronald Reagan was shot in the chest while walking towards his limousine in Washington, D.C., following a speech inside a hotel. The president soon recovered from the surgery and returned to his duties.
He was so close to April.
Katie. He was so close to April.
There's one important date in March that'll make everybody smile instead of be sad. March 29th, 2012, my youngest cat was born. So,
aww.
It's a great time.
Well, one thing we failed to mention in this quick rundown of history is the coronavirus pandemic really took off last March, and the entire world pretty much entered some sort of a lockdown. And now we have completed our first full year of living with this virus.
Oh, what a year.
I very specifically remember how that played out, like in March.
Yeah.
And it, like, you know how there's those moments in history that you live through and you like always remember the story of like where you were when whatever happened? Like, last March is going to be one of those moments for me.
Yeah,
that's weird to think about.
For sure.
You know, like I can tell you where I was when 9/11 happened. I can tell you, well, I'm blanking right now. I don't know what else I can tell you, but I can tell you how March went down last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's anything any of us will ever forget in our lifetimes at all. And what's crazy is, you know, people are going to be reading about it in the history books not too long from now.
I know. I was telling Katie, I was like, isn't it going to be just like really weird whenever our kids are in high school? Like, I can't wait to read their history books and like how they're taught about like the past 4 years leading up to like COVID. It's going to be very interesting to see how that is portrayed in schooling.
I'm lost in thought right now because all I'm thinking about is, oh my God, you know, they're going to be reading about this, but it's going to be how life has changed once we get past this, once we get through it, because let's face it, life is not going back to normal. And even as much as Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants it to go back to normal, life won't go back to normal at all. So as of this Wednesday, all the businesses in Texas, any business whatsoever that was closed down due to the pandemic, is allowed to open at 100% capacity. And the mask mandate, well, our governor, just God bless his little heart, he doesn't think we need masks anymore. And so he reversed the mandate on that as well. And I don't know what to think about this. I mean, I know exactly what to think, but I don't understand how somebody can come to this decision and say, you know what, it's over, pandemic's over, JK, y'all, JK.
It's very frustrating because this pandemic has been turned into like a political ploy when this should have been a completely bipartisan topic the whole time it was going on. This has nothing to do with politics. This is just a really awful thing that happened that everybody has to deal with. It doesn't target specific political parties. It's not going to ignore you because you don't believe in it. And the fact that, I mean, Katie and I live in Florida, so Terrence, we feel for you because our governor's just as idiotic. And I'm pretty sure that at this point, Florida has kind of just already been open 100%, and he already reversed the mask mandate like months ago. So I guess in that sense, like just for some peace of mind for you, there are definitely a lot of people who still wear masks, aren't stupid. You have to go to the right areas, find the right stores, go to where you're comfortable. But even with everything being reversed in Florida for a while now, we've been able to find our places to go and still feel safe going. It's just more work, it shouldn't be more work, which is the frustrating part.
Greg Abbott has said in a press conference last Tuesday at the Lubbock Chamber of Commerce, he said, "Too many Texans have been sidelined from employment opportunities. Too many small business owners have struggled to pay their bills. This must end. It is now time to open Texas 100%. And he says that Texas is in a far better position now with increasing vaccination numbers and more knowledge of how to manage the spread of the virus. Abbott also pointed to a decreasing hospitalization rates and a positivity rate. Still, Texas lags behind most of the nation in vaccination percentages. As of last Wednesday, roughly 13% of the state's population, 13% out of 29 million, y'all do the math, has received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, ranking 48th in the United States. For those of you that are following along at home, the United States only has 50 states. In a tweet posted Tuesday about Abbott's speech, San Antonio Mayor Ron Nuremberg disagreed, saying, "We're not out of the woods yet." Ron Nuremberg stated, "Opening everything to 100% while simultaneously nixing our state's mask mandate is a huge mistake. COVID-19 is still widespread in our community and infecting far too many vulnerable residents. Please join me in continuing to wear a mask. We're not out of the woods yet." Here's the thing. If COVID-19 hospitalizations rise above 15% for 7 straight days for any hospital region, county judges may opt to impose stricter COVID-19 mitigation strategies, but they cannot impose face mask restrictions or fines. A lot of businesses, I know my business, will probably continue mandating masks for its employees and for people that continue to come into the stores, do business with them, and things of that nature. But it makes it so much harder on the people that have to enforce these rules set forth by these companies.
Mm-hmm. It causes confusion as well. Like, people will hear the Texas governor or whatever state governor say the mask mandates are reversed. And then they'll approach workers or businesses and say, and they're just uninformed. And they'll just be like, "You can't mandate this." And it's like, well, it's a private company. Like, yes, they can. Like, this is, you know, like, for example, Disney. People are upset that Disney is still requiring masks. And it's like, well, it's private property. They can do whatever they want to. Just because Florida's not mandating masks, Disney can mandate masks, and they cannot allow you in if you don't have one on. It just causes confusion and more stress on the workers. And I think that to get through this, like, this is the part that has just frustrated me to no end. And I always get on soapboxes anytime I talk about anything politics. So apologies in advance. But like, at the end of the day, this is not political, period. We are just trying to protect each other. And I try and tell people all the time, because you know, I don't even know why I look at comments on Facebook sometimes. I should just completely ignore it. But there are just some times where I like have to put a comment. Like, I have to. And 9 times out of 10, these people will come back at me and be like, "If you're so scared, wear a mask." And it's like, why can't you wrap your head around the fact that I wear a mask to protect you? Me wearing a mask does not protect me. It protects you. So it would be a courtesy if you would also protect me by wearing one. it's just common courtesy.
It is. Yeah. And it frustrates me and pisses me off that people think that it's infringing on their rights. No, it's not infringing. It's being a decent human being. Like, how fucking thick do you have to be to not protect your fellow person?
Yeah. I also just don't get how it's like, yeah, these people, like, okay, sir, you're right. People have suffered. People have lost their jobs. Small businesses are suffering. Yeah, things are starting to look a little better as we're getting the vaccines. You've made it this far. Why don't you just wait a few fucking more months until we all are vaccinated, and then you can lift whatever you want. But we're so close.
Yes.
Why now?
And to jump off of that, that argument from political leaders drives me up a wall, how they say people have suffered. And it's like, okay, well, why didn't you fucking do anything about that? Why didn't the federal government do anything about that to help these businesses? And now you're using their hardship that you created to pedal back on mandates that are working. Masks work. So now you're using the hardships that you've created by not having any policies put in place to help these businesses, because you've made the coronavirus political, because everything in America gets turned into something political. So because of that, you're literally, it's like it was all a setup, all a ploy. Like, they created these problems so that they could then use them to get rid of anything pertaining to COVID and just like act like it doesn't exist.
And let's not forget that our medical system is still at a straining point. I was reading an interview the other day that said just because there are no longer stretchers in the hallway doesn't mean that we're out of this thing. Yeah, I mean, the rooms are full. You have healthcare workers that are quitting their jobs because they can't take this stress anymore of what they've been placed under for the past year. I mean, it's something that's, it drives me crazy that they're not listening to the science behind this. It's not, like you were saying, it's not political at all. The science doesn't lie. You know, you get this virus, you may or may not come out on the other side from it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, the people who are wearing masks are wearing them to protect you. So again, the common courtesy thing to do would be to also protect them just in case. You may not have it. And that's great for you if you don't have it, but you could be asymptomatic even if you have no symptoms, and you could pass it on to me, who I could pass it on to my mom, who has a heart condition. And then the chances of her coming out of it are way worse than me, a 30-year-old, getting it, right? Like, that's the other thing. I just can't wrap my head around how people are just so selfish.
Okay. So I get it that there's a lot of people that can't work. Right. But this next guy here faked his own kidnapping because he didn't want to go to work.
I just feel this on such a personal level.
And hey, sometimes you just don't want to go to work, right? Maybe you just suck it up and you go anyway, or maybe you call in sick, or you fake an emergency, such as a, you know, I don't know, like you're not feeling well, or you have a death in the family, or maybe you tie yourself up and throw yourself on the side of the road to fake your own kidnapping. Well, that is exactly what a man did to get out of a Wednesday shift, according to police and court records. In the town of Coolidge, Arizona, Brandon Souls, 19, has since pled guilty to reporting false information to law enforcement. He beat himself up, tied his hands with his own belt, stuck a bandana in his mouth, and threw himself on the side of the road to fake the kidnapping on February 10th. He also fabricated a complex story about his rich father, a trove of buried cash in the desert. Boy, this guy was on a roll, wasn't he? And two mass kidnappers who didn't care that he would miss his shift at an auto shop in town.
I tried to tell him I had work. They didn't care.
Do you think that he had just watched like Breaking Bad or something about the whole like treasure in the desert?
I was thinking Jim Carrey's Liar Liar.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as they were investigating, they located surveillance video in front of his home, and they were not able to see anything happened to him. And this guy ultimately confessed to staging the whole thing when police confronted him a week after the incident. The police showed him all the information. He admitted he made up the whole thing because he didn't want to go to work.
I think that was more work than going to work.
Probably.
I mean, I'm all here for, you know, I think I watched this video the other day that was like, doesn't matter how broke I am, if they say I can leave early, I'm gone. You know, like, who wants to work? Nobody. But who?
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
But this is next level.
It's like, damn, I have to go in for a 3-hour shift. Are you kidding me?
You know, like, I'm all for making up fake excuses to get out of work, but you don't need to get law enforcement involved. Right. Like, at that point, you're digging your own grave. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not good.
Maybe that's what this guy should have done. Dug his own grave and thought himself
faked
in
his
it.
You faked his own death.
Like, oh, I hate my job. Well, there's one way to solve it.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, if he hates his job that much, you got to do what you got to do. At that point, just quit, though. Like, your job is not worth you being that miserable.
True.
Yeah.
He needs to go into, like, fiction writing or something.
Yes. Write a murder mystery novel.
Right. Oh,
I would read it.
I'm thinking of a new Netflix series at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Ways to get out of going to work.
It could be called Kidnapped?
Kidnapped? Question mark.
Well, this next guy wishes he was kidnapped, but an Edinburgh woman bit off a man's tongue in a street brawl before a seagull swooped down and ate it. Yes, the headline says it all, folks. We don't even have to go into the details of this, but oh my God.
Yeah, that's a bit much. It's one thing to like actually have that happen, and then like, you know, you could potentially pick it up and take it to the hospital with you and be like, can you fix my tongue? But like, what I'm curious, like, what does his tongue look like now?
Yeah.
Is it like a snake?
Well, have you seen Benny on The Mummy? That's probably what it looks like. Has anybody ever seen him?
Oh my God.
No. Oh, that always made me so uncomfortable to watch that part.
I wonder how he talks now.
Yeah. Like, did that change his speech? It probably did a little.
I mean, imagine like getting your tongue bit off. You're not able to taste things anymore.
That's so sad.
Like, it had to have been a pretty big piece for like a seagull to swoop down and grab it. It's not like it was just a little bit. Like
a little taste bud.
Yeah, like it. That had to be a significant amount of muscle.
Like, we'll call it a chunk. Like, it had to have been a chunk of tongue.
Well, it's funny that you say chunk, because in the article they reference approximately 2 centimeters by 3 centimeters in size. And guys, let's face it, the surface of your tongue just really isn't that big. So 2 by 3, that's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that girl's savage. She's
vicious. Also,
savage move.
Takeaway, seagulls are bastards. They just swoop down and eat everything.
They really do.
Oh, now I have this strong urge to go to YouTube and watch seagulls eating things or taking things from people's hands.
I wish that I'd recorded the time that Katie made the worst decision of her life and fed the seagulls at the beach.
God. It was a Tic Tac piece of a French fry, and I got swarmed. It's the stuff of nightmares.
I'm like, was it just one seagull, or was there a lot of seagulls, but one just happened to grab the piece of tongue? Because seagulls, they travel in packs.
Yeah.
Like, there's never just one. So, like, did this guy get dive bombed by seagulls for his tongue?
Yeah, now I can't stop thinking about that. Actually, I can't stop thinking about what would have happened if the seagulls ate the food in this next story here. Feds seized $2.8 $2 million worth of frosted cocaine cornflakes. It's a wonderful, nutritious breakfast, the best part of waking up. U.S. Customs and Border Protection in Cincinnati intercepted a large shipment of cereal that was headed to a private residence in Hong Kong from South America. Officers opened the box and saw the cereal with white powder, with flakes coated in a grayish substance. They tested the flakes and the substance. Wonder how they did that. And found that they contained cocaine. The shipment had 44 pounds of cocaine coated cornflakes, the agency said, noting that its street value could be upwards of $2.82 million.
I am shocked that this happened in Ohio, if I'm being honest.
Oh my God, honestly.
I'm shocked that somebody took the time to coat every single cornflake with cocaine.
Well, someone thought they were super smart. They're like, I mean, no, like, one's gonna look at this. They're just gonna think it's Frosted Flakes.
It's kind of smart.
It's like you said, this is Breaking Bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know what might have gave it away? They might have put it, what, in a, I wonder if they were in a cornflakes box. Because if they sure as hell were Frosted Flakes, they might have gotten away with it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Frosted Flakes. It's more than good. It's cocaine.
It's great.
They're great.
These ones are extra great.
All I can think about is like a Family Guy episode of Tony the Tiger going nuts. That
I know. Same.
Oh, man.
That's okay.
That's worth some fat cash. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of cereal.
Yeah.
2.82. I wonder if it was just like, if it was a pallet. And you know what gave it away was that it was probably being delivered to a private residence. I mean,
yeah, like, who
the hell eats that? Yeah.
Cornflakes. You're like, what, are you feeding like an army out of here? What is this?
Also, how were they going to distribute this cocaine as the cereal? Or were they gonna, like, how
would you get it?
I mean,
it
never will have done cocaine, so I don't really know all the ins and outs of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they were just gonna sell it as boxes of cornflakes and you could do with it what you wanted.
I can just see like the horror in having a mix up and having that go to like a supermarket.
Oh my right? God.
And having these people just like overdose on Frosted Flakes. That, oh my goodness.
That'd be so dangerous.
So y'all ever think that you are in one place and it's actually another place?
Yeah, that kind of happened to me one time.
I never know.
I booked a hotel in the wrong city.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'm scared. Well, that's what happened to this guy in our final story this week. The bizarre tale of the world's last lost tourist who thought Maine was San Francisco.
Well,
this story, it was like, it's really interesting. And like, I feel bad for the guy, but it's such a cool story. This man travels from Germany and he doesn't speak very much English at all. So there's a huge language barrier and he had a layover in Maine. This is the part that kind of confuses me because like, I'm sure that he could see like when he booked this ticket that like it was a layover. No, that's the part that's kind of confusing. So like, but maybe he just, you know, fell asleep on the plane, didn't really realize what was going on. So they land in Maine to basically like refuel before they take off again to go to San Francisco. And a flight attendant said something along the lines of like, have a great time in San Francisco. So he thought that that's where they were. And he just like grabbed his stuff and got off the plane. And it was this city in Maine. And he like waved for a taxi and just told the taxi to take him into the city. Didn't like specify. So they thought nothing of it. He went and he checked into a hotel. This is another part where I'm just like, did he just like not make reservations? And he just like walked up to a hotel and was like, can I check in? I guess maybe that is the only explanation here. But it took 3 whole days for him to finally like have some sort of realization that he was not in San Francisco. But then it like once that was discovered, it just like became this viral story of this man who like realized he thought he was in the right city, but he was in the wrong city. So he basically was exploring this city in Maine thinking it was San Francisco, and it was not.
I mean, I've been to Bangor, Maine, and I've been to San Francisco. I can tell you that Bangor, Maine looks nothing like San Francisco. I would be like, where are all the hills? Where's the Golden Gate Bridge? Where's the Oakland Bridge?
Right, the Golden Gate Bridge was the one where I was like, he didn't question the fact that there was like no Golden Gate Bridge in the city.
This would happen to someone like me.
To be fair, I have not been to Bangor, Maine, but I have been to San Francisco. And when I was in San Francisco, it was so foggy, I couldn't even see the bridge. So, I mean, I guess I could attribute it to that.
I don't...
Literally it, disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I don't know. And you know, the weird thing about this story, it mentions that he typically enjoyed drinking 17 beers a day.
Oh, that's right.
And he was a little groggy whenever he got off the plane. Grabbed that's his suitcase. Right. He went through customs. You know, he jumped in the cab like you were saying. And asked the driver to take him to the city, yada, yada. So, you know, he might have been like in that state of, you know, pure inebriation and bliss. I don't
such
know.
Such a random number. Such a specific number. It's not like just like a case of beer. 17.
17 cans of beer a day.
That is a lot of beer.
That's a lot of beer.
That's a lot of beer.
Goodness gracious. But yeah, I mean, it garnered him fame. I mean, eventually he was given the keys to San Francisco because he had become such a sensation.
Wasn't he also given land in Maine?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he could build a house in Maine. Like, he talk could enjoy it forever.
See, there's something good about being oblivious to life, you know?
Right?
I mean, can you imagine, like, being in downtown Bangor, if they have a downtown? I don't know if they're that big. But being in Bangor and asking for directions to the Full House.
They'd be like, what are you talking about?
Like, what? Where's Pitcher Row at? Where's Lombardi Street?
How do I get to the pier? Where are all the sea lions at? I don't know. I guess maybe, are there sea lions in Maine? I guess maybe that could have been.
Well, yeah, but Bangor is like kind of in the middle of the state.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Got it.
Well.
Bless his soul.
Bless his soul.
I'm glad he actually made it to San Francisco, though.
Me too, because it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It should be seen.
Well, it's time for our next segment. And thank you so much to Katie for naming this segment for us, because this is what we will be using going forward. And it's called Real Shit or Bullshit. And I'm going to list headlines. So I'm going to throw out a headline, and you guys have to guess if the story is true or false.
I love this.
So are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. First one. Rooster to appear in court after killing owner in illegal cockfight. Real shit or bullshit?
Oh, man.
I'm going to go real shit, because what if like they want to just examine the rooster? It's not like, you know, we need to talk to him. They just need to like see if he's really that vicious because somebody else sued or something like that, you know?
All right, I'll just play devil's advocate and say bullshit, because you can't talk to a rooster.
The answer is real shit.
Oh, yes. No.
I believe this happened in India. Yeah, I think it had something to do. I can't remember the story entirely, but I think it had something to do with the owner had affixed a knife to the rooster to kind of give the rooster a leg up and killing the other rooster.
Oh, my gosh.
But the rooster ended up turning on him and killing him. So I still am not clear on how that happened. Yeah.
A rooster with a knife. Whew.
Next one. Real shit or bullshit. Woman arrested after being linked to crime via Cheetos residue on teeth.
Oh, my God. I want this to be real shit so bad.
Oh, God. I hope that this on her teeth. I don't know. I'm going to go bullshit.
Cheetos stick everywhere.
I mean, yeah.
It is actually real shit.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Next story.
I have a hygienist go in there and just like take some of the Cheeto out of her teeth crevices.
Next story. Police in South Africa arrest dog after trespassing on TV news station property.
Oh my God.
Where was this at?
South Africa.
I'm going real shit.
I'll go bullshit.
It is bullshit.
Oh, darn. You got me.
Man spends 4 days locked in trunk after cat accidentally closes lid.
Oh.
Absolutely real shit.
Yeah, that would be some real shit.
Cats, yes. Yes. They're smart.
I wouldn't put it past cats doing this, but this is actually bullshit.
Did you do that to me because I'm a cat lady?
I did, like, oh, yeah. And our final one. Japan asks China to stop performing anal swab tests for COVID on its citizens.
Stunned silence.
Oh my God. What?
I'm going to say hopefully bullshit.
Bullshit.
This is actually real shit.
No.
Like literally real shit.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
Why?
I love this segment so much. And that is how we play Real Shit or Bullshit. Play with your friends at home. Real Shit or Bullshit by Hasbro.
by Terrence, bro.
That's right. I'm a bro. All right. Moving on to our next segment, Guilty Pleasures. Do we have any guilty pleasures that we partake in? And I'll kick this one off. I know y'all going to call me an old man for this, but I have recently discovered the joys of TikTok.
You and me both.
I laugh my ass off watching some of these videos. I was laying in bed last night and just kind of scrolling through. And I mean, before I knew it, it was like 12:30 in the morning. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to go to bed. But oh my goodness, some of these things... Like, I couldn't even see myself creating a TikTok. I don't know how that stuff works. You young Gen Zers and your crazy TikToks, and I don't ever see it happening, but I love watching them.
One of my favorite TikToks that I recently came across is, it says, Millennials in April of 2020. I'm not downloading that Vine knockoff. No way. Like, those kids are crazy. And then it said January 2021, Millennials, like, in bed, 3 a.m., laughing their ass off at freaking TikToks, scrolling endlessly. I'm like, yeah, that's me. For a long time, I revolted about downloading the app for some reason, and I would just watch them, like, it open in a browser, and then finally I downloaded it, and it is so bad for your time management.
Yeah, it is really addicting. I think my favorite one that I've seen so far is a video of a dog trying to get its nails cut, but every time the nail clipper comes too close to the dog screams.
Literally screams.
Like, literally screams.
We were dying about that
yesterday, and I died.
I didn't ever think a dog could scream.
You know, the last two where it was just like straight up screaming, and then the girl who's cutting it can't even like
do her job.
She can't even do it.
I don't know why all my favorite ones like involve animals. Like, I'll give you guys one more example. There's one of a girl. She's going to do a handstand against the wall. Well, she has the dog in back of her and accidentally kicks the dog. And then the camera cuts to the guy catching something in a pot and throwing it on a stove. I mean, the funniest thing that I've seen. Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm sure no dogs were harmed in, you know, the making of that TikTok, but holy crap. Like, some of these things are just so creative. It's just so hilarious.
You're not alone. I think I'm the last person who still doesn't have the app. I just watch over Meg's shoulder. Like, I laugh so hard at these stupid things.
My favorite one. Katie, are you ready? It's of this little boy.
That's a TikTok?
Yeah.
That's where it came from?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's this little boy, and the mom put a filter on him and turned him into a hot dog. Okay. And he's looking at it. He's looking at the screen, and he just goes, am I a pee-pee?
Oh my goodness.
And then the mom's like, no, she like is trying so hard not to laugh. She's like, no, you're a hot dog. And he's like, I'm a hot dog.
His little laugh is so funny too. Like, Meg and me will just goes, laugh like, for hours.
Am I a pee-pee?
You gotta send it to Terrence after we're done.
Oh my goodness. There's in fact, Eric Skull, one of our other good friends, just sent me this one he texted me just a second ago. I do want to look at it because that's how addicted I am.
What's a random historical domino effect you absolutely love?
In the 1800s, a French girl commits suicide by jumping into the River Seine in Paris. She's pulled out of the river and put on display in a morgue for people to claim her. No one claims her, but the mortician thinks she's so beautiful that he makes a death mask of her that looks like this. People around the world think that because she's so beautiful that they have to have replicas in their own homes. And when a Norwegian toy maker is approached by scientists to make a dummy for CPR practice, he remembers this face and models a CPR dummy off her and names it Annie after one of his relatives. Medical students in the US are taught to check the condition of their patient before doing CPR. So when they're practicing on the CPR dummy, they ask, are you okay, Annie? Leading to Michael Jackson making the hit song, Annie, Are You Okay?
Oh my God.
What?
Oh, that is so creepy. Wow. I'm never taking a CPR class again.
Oh my gosh.
Firstly, but holy crap, that is so funny. That was great.
There's one more that I want to share that like seriously made me laugh so hard, because like what I love about TikTok is that like as you scroll and interact, the algorithm that TikTok has is fantastic because it will just send you down these rabbit holes. So like for a while I was stuck on Orlando TikTok where it was just showing me like other things in Orlando to do besides go to the theme parks, or like I was down I stumbled down gay TikTok, and there was this one of this kid and he was checking his temperature and he's like, oh, 98.6. He's like, let me check you. And he did it. And he's like, oh, that's weird. It says you're gay. And I was like, oh my God, it knows. Oh,
I saw that one.
So good.
Oh boy.
So hard. I was like, oh shit. Oh. Read me through the screen.
There was one. There's one. There's so many. I mean, I'm sure we could do an entire show on just like hilarious TikToks. But the final one that I'll share is it's a kid just running into the room and his mom's sitting there drinking wine, and she goes, "Can I say a bad word? Can I say a bad word? Can I say a bad word?" And her mom's just like, "Yeah, go ahead, whatever." And so the kid goes and starts screaming these obscenities as the mom's taking a drink of wine. And the one just goes everywhere. Oh, it's so hilarious.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. Hopefully I'll stumble upon it.
Well, it sounds like it was a guilty pleasure for all, but Megan, what is yours?
Oh man. So for the past like 2 weeks now, basically since we last recorded, I have just been obsessed with playing Pokemon. So it all started with a conversation with my friend Tiff. Shout out to Tiffany. And she was just, we were excited because it's the 25th anniversary of Pokemon and we were waiting for an announcement of like something that was going to come. We were talking about how excited we were for Pokemon Snap coming out in April. And Tiffany was like, do you want to do a playthrough of Let's Go Eevee or Pikachu with me? And I was like, absolutely. Like, that sounds fantastic. I love the original 150 Pokedex, first original 150. I just like, it's comfortable for me and nostalgic. So like, I feel versed in it. I know it. And Eevee is like one of my favorites. So I was like, yeah, totally. Let's do it. And then Katie and I did it together, like with Tiffany, but Tiffany is going too slow. Because we finished it in like a couple days. And then I was like, you know, I really want to play Pokemon Sword and Shield now. So that's our new thing. And I had never played Sword or Shield when it came out. Only Katie had gotten it. And it is so beautiful. I'm obsessed with like the visuals and how it's based off of like England, Scotland. It's gorgeous. I love it. I never want to stop playing it because it makes me just want to go back to England.
This is what I've been waiting for, our whole relationship.
Right. She's so excited. But yeah, I've been all about Pokemon. Literally obsessed. I even bought a new guidebook. I've downloaded apps on my phone for the Pokedex so I can cross off all of them as I get them. Like, I am in deep.
Have you found the Pokemon TikTok yet?
Oh, God, no.
I don't even know if it exists. I'm just saying, like, oh, my God,
I'm sure it does.
There's something that you can, you know, waste
TikTok
more time with. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There goes my night. It's going to be 6 a.m. before I know it.
You know, we were talking before the show, and I was saying that's why I'm so afraid to get into something else, because, like, I will obsess over it. Like, Pokemon Go, whenever that came out a couple years ago. And, like, that entire summer was probably the most I've spent outside since, like, 1989.
Right?
You know, that's, yeah.
Yeah, same. That was a summer.
Oh. That was a time to be alive.
I mean, like, do you remember that? Like, just going, and you knew everybody in that park was playing Pokemon Go.
Yes.
They all were. You could see it.
You give little nods to each other.
Yeah. And then, like, as the summer went on, then people would start, like, getting comfortable because they just knew everybody was playing. And they'd be like, there's a Poliwag over there if you need it. Or, like, oh, there's a Charmander over there if you need it. And, like, you just run. And, I mean, Katie and I were in deep with Pokemon Go, too. Like, I started following and figuring out where, like, all of the nests were so that, like, I knew where to go to catch Pokemon. And I would literally, like, drive around the city and go to the stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was bad.
No, it was wonderful.
it was bad and wonderful.
Well, Katie, what about you? Any guilty pleasures?
This week, Starbucks has finally added oat milk to their menu, and I've been waiting for this for so long because I'm a big oat milk fan. And they have this new drink. It's a iced brown sugar oat milk shaken espresso. Super fancy, super delicious. Just so excited to be able to enjoy my favorite drinks with my favorite milk alternative. That sounds so nerdy, but I'm so excited about it.
That sounds so good.
It's so good.
Oat milk is the shit.
It is. And they're, like, using my favorite brand of oat milk, Starbucks.
And
applause
that drink
you.
Uses blonde espresso.
Mm-hmm.
Chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, I tried it. What was it? The last drink that I had. That I had first tried from Starbucks was the honey almond milk.
Ooh.
Cold brew, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, I love almond milk, and I think it was just the honey that kind of ruined the flavor for me. I mean, it was a delicious drink, but it just wasn't my cup of coffee. You know, it wasn't my my cold brew that I was expecting. But I am excited to try this new drink. I'm gonna go get it tomorrow morning on my way to work.
It's very good.
I've also had I was like, well, like, I'm so excited to try it in other drinks, so I tried it out just in an iced coffee, just a flavored iced coffee with oat milk, and it was incredible. So excited.
Now, do you
Katie
get your
love the honey either?
No, I'm not a big fan of the honey drinks.
Do you get your cold, I mean your iced coffee, sweet or unsweet?
I like it sweet.
Okay. I usually go unsweet.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go, I mean, if I'm feeling adventurous, I'll go half sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I'll do the unsweet, but I'll do like the 2% or the almond milk in there. But yeah, I'm excited to try the oat milk. Is it a sweeter flavor, or what's the difference in the flavor of the oat milk and maybe the almond milk or regular milk?
It's much creamier than almond milk.
Mm-hmm. It's creamier without feeling heavier, which I feel like almond milk sometimes will make it feel heavier to me. But we just had this conversation today. Oat milk is so versatile. It can enhance sweetness or it can enhance savoriness.
That's why I love it so much, because you can literally use it in sweet and savory dishes. And it's weird how it enhances it in both ways, but it does add a little bit of sweetness.
A little bit.
But not too, too much.
Not like sugar sweet, just like
natural
sweet.
Yeah. I love it.
For people that maybe maybe health nuts? Is this something that they can feel comfortable in drinking and not, you know, kill their calorie count for the day? Or
for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. And also for people who are eco-conscious, oat milk is one of the best milk alternatives that uses the least amount of water. So it is pretty good in terms, I mean, like, obviously using no water to make that kind of stuff would be the best, but in terms of like milk alternatives and regular milk itself, oat milk consumes the least amount of fresh water in its production versus almond milk or regular milk. So it's like, it's pretty, it's better for the environment if you drink oat milk versus other milks.
That's super cool. Yeah, I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited to try it. Oh, God, I hope my local Starbucks has it because they're usually slow to adopt the new thing. So
they said nationwide March 3rd or March 2nd.
Oh, beautiful.
So,
okay.
Yeah, you should be good.
All right, moving on to our second to last segment today. Those were the days, COVID edition. I thought it would be fun to talk about our strangest purchase we've made during our COVID lockdowns. Well, I know I'm going to get criticized for this, but I went traveling. I went to Las Vegas in July, and I went to Orlando. I went to Disney World in July as well, with a couple of stops in between. And I did fly. This is, you know, kind of at the height of the lockdowns and coronavirus and things like that. So I did go traveling. I had a lot of fun. I took every single precaution I could think of, from, you know, everything that I had to touch. I had my hand sanitizer. I make sure I wiped it down afterwards. I carried, you know, everything with me, from masks to all kinds of different types of sanitizer, to the sanitizing wipes, to just really everything. Like if I had to touch something, I had like a little button pusher that I used, and things like that. I made sure I kept my distance from people. And it, you know, like I said, I felt like it went fairly well. I, you know, knock on wood, I did not get sick, and I have not been sick. And I just really, I had a lot of fun because there were not that many people out and about. So it made me feel more comfortable.
Disney in July was like a ghost town. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, we went the week it opened up, I believe. And it was surreal to see nobody, literally nobody in the Magic Kingdom. And I invite you guys to go to my Instagram account and just scroll down a couple of pictures down, and you'll see my video of the Magic Kingdom all the way from the castle and Main Street to, I think we went into Frontierland. Or, oh my God, am I getting it mixed up? Frontierland, Adventureland? I think it's Adventureland, right?
Which...
Disney
like which
World.
Rides did you go by? Adventureland and Frontierland are right next to each other. I guess if you're going into the hub, it's Adventureland.
Okay. Yeah. I had gotten it mixed up because I thought Adventureland was at one park and like at Disneyland, and Frontierland was Disney World. Okay.
No, cool. They have both.
Yeah. You'll see me going through Liberty Square and all that other stuff, and you'll get to see how dead it actually was. I think at that point the parks were at maybe a 10% capacity. That's what it felt like. And Disney really did a great job of making us feel safe and comfortable.
Yeah, we have gone to Disney as well. I mean, we live down here, but there's definitely a way to do it and still feel safe and be safe. I mean, you can find your corners, you can find your quiet spots. And, you know, as long as you're not being an idiot and following all precautions and making sure that you're being smart, it's possible. So my strangest purchase, I'm going to talk about two because I am having a really hard time picking between the two. But back in, It may have been late March, and this was maybe 2 weeks into quarantine, so very early on.
Desperation had hit.
And, well, you know, the reason why my longing for Disney was so bad was because for the first time, I was planning a birthday trip to Disney for my 30th birthday, and it was going to be me, Katie, my mom, my friend Chris. I have a couple friends down in Florida, and I had booked like a dinner reservation for like 10 people. And I was really gonna like go all out with the birthday bash at Disney. So I was really, really, really sad that that got canceled. Obviously, it was for good reason. I agree that they should have closed when they did, all of that stuff. So like, I know that there are much worse things going on in the world at that time, but also like, you're allowed to be sad about the things that you had to miss out on. So because of that, I was really into this like, well, I really want to have like a Disney day at home where basically act as if we were in the parks, but we're stuck in our apartment. So I went on to eBay and I purchased like a legitimate Mickey waffle maker, like the big full size Mickey waffle iron. And it's amazing. It makes fantastic waffles. I love it so much. I do not regret this purchase in any way, shape, or form. But it was a little bit over the top. And that was a fantastic day. Like, we woke up, we made Mickey waffles. I recreated Violet Lemonade because we were supposed to be there for the Flower and Garden Festival.
Aww.
And so I like ordered all the stuff to make it at home. And I made hummus fries from the Epcot Festival because I love those. So I like made those for the first time ever.
Did an animators class?
Yeah, we've like found online, we found like an animators class to do some drawings of characters. I FaceTimed with some of my friends and we did it together. We watched the fireworks show at the end of the night. Like, it was a great day.
It was awesome.
That sounds so cool.
It was so fun. And like, I did it all on Instagram too, so that like people could follow along with our day with us and like do the stuff that I was doing. I like shared all the recipes that I made. I made Ohana noodles that night for dinner because Ohana is one of my favorite restaurants. I like went all out. I was like, if I can't go to Disney for my birthday, I'm going to recreate something awesome.
Oh my gosh.
So it was really, really fun. I should make a highlight on my Instagram so that people can like watch that at any time. Maybe I'll go and do that.
I'm going to be sitting there taking notes and like nodding along.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm a huge Disney person. I'm obsessed. So like we really did like think of it all. It was really fun. Mm. And it was fun to like create new recipes. I'd never even thought about recreating hummus fries. But I'm really glad that I did because they were really easy to make. And now I don't have to wait for the Food and Wine Festival to eat them when we're down at Disney. So that was awesome. And then my second strangest purchase is we fell for the Animal Crossing craze. Hardcore, like,
couldn't have come at a better time.
I think I've clocked maybe 500 hours on that game.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so I had never played Animal Crossing before, and Katie had played it growing up. She played it on
GameCube.
Yeah, so I was like, she was so excited to like show me the ropes of Animal Crossing, and I get in there and I become so obsessed. I took over the game. Katie could never play it. I felt so bad that I bought us a second Switch and a second Animal Crossing game.
Which if you lived through quarantine, that was hard to find a Switch.
It was very hard to find a Switch. I was checking every morning and all we could find was the lights. So it's like not a full on game console, like we can't put it on the screen, but she has like a handheld that she can play Animal Crossing on. So we have two islands, but that was kind of cool because we did one in the northern hemisphere and one in the southern hemisphere, so we are always opposite seasons and we can visit each other's islands and stuff.
That is so neat. Oh my gosh. I need a quarantine with y'all because y'all know how to do it. Okay. I mean,
we definitely found our niche, our little, our way through it, I guess.
A little happy
niches.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. I didn't buy this. You did. But
oh, great. So now I have three items.
Yeah. I approved it. It's not put together yet, but we bought a bidet.
Oh yeah.
But oh, wow. Looked it up. I haven't tried it. I don't know if I'll like it. I don't know, but you know, you just
say why we find... bought it.
Huh?
Say why we bought it. Because we couldn't find toilet paper anywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was like, I don't remember what. Yeah, I mean, there was that huge toilet paper shortage.
I heard that was coming again, and I was like, I'm not dealing with that. Let's buy a bidet.
I was like, what? Why did y'all buy it? Sure as hell wouldn't a water fountain. I mean,
Yeah, but wow.
I need to install that.
No reports on
I'm gonna install
if it's
it.
Good or not.
Is it a portable bidet? I'm not my bidet ology is like not existent. Like I'm not educated in this at all, but like
hook it up to your
toilet.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's like inclusive in your toilet and I can like remove it because we are in an apartment. So like I can remove it and take it with me.
So yeah, I guess it is a portable.
It is portable,
bidet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sort of.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but it's just attached to your toilet. So it's like all just one. It's just like, you know, all in one.
You know, I didn't so I went over to Europe a couple of years ago and I was like, oh, what the hell is this? Are you supposed to get on your knees and wash your hands? Or like what's this extra little toilet for or something? I couldn't figure it out.
I
yeah.
did the same thing. Oh my gosh, I went like in high school and all of us were just so enamored with the bidets. We're like, what are these? I have like a photo in my photo album of my Italy trip and it's just of the bidet on because so fascinated by it. I was like, I have to take a picture of this. This is crazy.
I'm like so scared to mess with them because if you... I don't even know how the hell to turn it on, to be honest with you. And I can imagine myself being like one of those dogs that's just really curious. And then whenever somebody flushes a toilet, they run out of the room barking. I think that's what I would do with a bidet.
I may very well do that. I don't know.
We'll see. I'll report back.
Well, last but not least today, let's talk about some recommendations that we have. And I guess I'll kick this one off. My recommendation this week is an iPad Pro. Now, up until about a few months ago, I would use my 10.5-inch iPad Pro for just web surfing, checking email, watching videos, you know, the usual stuff. But then I realized I have a very, very powerful device in my hands, and I could use it for almost anything my computer was used for. And, you know, don't get me wrong, there was a learning curve to transition from doing the tasks that I wanted to do on an iPad, and to be honest with you, it wasn't that difficult. Now, I've been able to produce this podcast almost completely on my iPad. There's a few peripherals that I still use it with, such as a mouse and a keyboard. But that's easy. That's just to make my navigation easier. But the only thing that I quite haven't figured out yet is the transition to audio editing, which is possible, but I still use my computer for it until I learn that side, that process. But when I travel, I always used to take my computer with me, or two computers, like a Mac and a PC and an iPad. But now my iPad is a great substitute, and I foresee it being my primary device sometime this year whenever I do get the opportunity to travel.
I love my iPad Pro. I'm going to second that, just FYI. It is a fantastic machine. Like, you don't even realize some of the stuff that you can do on it. Katie does, like, awesome digital artwork on it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife has an iPad Air that I got for her last year, and she uses the heck out of it. Like, she designs things on a design studio with the Apple Pencil, and then she prints it out on like on the Cricut machine, and she makes all kinds of stuff, and it's really, really cool. But you know, I've had an iPad ever since they first came out. I had the first generation iPad. I was like, hey, this is super cool, yada yada, but I really have never felt comfortable just in that being my primary machine. What I love about it the most is that I'm already accustomed to using an iOS device. I've been using iPhones for years. And battery life on this thing is phenomenal. Versus a computer, you know, it'll die maybe after 2 or 3 hours or so. And I know, you know, just depending on how you use it. And I use my devices to really do a lot of heavy lifting, be it either hosting a Zoom call, doing audio editing, some video work, you know, my computer is like my powerhouse. Now that I can do it with my iPad, it's just, it's really opened my eyes. And I'm like, oh my God, so cool.
Yeah.
So cool. Megan, what is your recommendation this week?
So I tried a new recipe this week. I love French onion soup. And it's one of those things that I order all the time at restaurants when I see it on the menu, just because, like, who doesn't love the melty cheese with the crusty bread and the yummy broth? Like, it's just one of my favorite, like, comfort foods. But I'd never attempted to make it. So I found this fantastic recipe on Half Baked Harvest. I, FYI, highly recommend going and following her Instagram page. It is so aesthetically pleasing. And her recipes are all fantastic. Like, I have yet to find a recipe of hers that I don't like. And this, so I will preface this by saying, read through the entire recipe before you start this recipe, because it takes a very long time to make this soup. And I was unprepared for that. So you have to basically cook the onions overnight. And I didn't realize that that was just like the first step in the process. I thought that it was like, oh, I read it. And I was like, it could take anywhere from 8 to 14 hours to cook these down in your slow cooker. And then I thought that, like, that was it. No, you do that. And then you cook the soup for an additional 8 hours. So that's why, just read the whole thing through, but it is worth the time that goes into it. And my favorite part about this recipe is that her little spin that she does is that she makes the bread like French toast before she puts it on top and then broils the cheese down on top. So it's like French onion soup with a piece of French toast and then Gruyere cheese on top. And it is so delicious. We've eaten it like all week because it also makes a lot, but it is so delicious. And I love trying new recipes. I love using the slow cooker. It's easy. And this was very, very good. So highly recommend.
Fantastic. Yeah, we'll include the link to the recipe in and the video in our show notes. Last but not least, Katie, any recommendations this week?
I'm going to recommend the Nintendo Switch. I mean, come on. Come on. I've been living on that thing lately. And truthfully, like 25 years of Pokemon, that's almost all my life that I've been obsessing over this. Go pick up an old game. Go love it again. You won't regret it. Go dive back into your childhood.
There's a lot of new games coming out for the Switch.
Yeah, go grab a Switch. It's just, it's so good. It's so fun.
If you can find them. Are they still hard to find right now? I think they might be.
Go on the hunt. Makes it more thrilling.
I am so excited for just everything Nintendo's doing right now.
I know, I know.
I know.
Same.
I can't wait for that Super Mario Land at Universal to open.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
I wonder, are they still on track to complete that park on time?
They just started work on it again, actually, literally today.
Oh wow.
Which is pretty exciting. It was postponed since, I want to say May is when they announced that it was postponed. So I'm guessing that they're that many months behind. So like May to now. So almost a year, but not quite. So they're definitely, I don't think that they'll be on track with what they originally projected, but they are trudging through and I am excited to see what comes of it. I'm all about theme park world. It is just my happy place. So anytime I get news about the theme parks, I'm all about it.
You know, I think I've reached that point in my life where, yes, I am 1,000% excited for the parks and all of, you know, the wonderfulness we'll experience there. But gosh, like I feel so old for saying this. That hotel, though, oh my God, that's going to be amazing.
Oh, I'm all about hotels. Yeah, I think is that like a thing when you hit 30?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I'm all about hotels.
Well, thank you so much to Katie for filling in for Bailey at the last minute. Bailey is, she just got the first dose of her vaccine and she is out for the count right now. So she'll make a full recovery, we're sure of it, and be back for next episode. But Katie, thank you so much for jumping on with us today. Total clutch podcaster.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was fun.
And to Megan, it's always such a privilege podcasting in fact, with you both.
Thank you. You too.
I'll right back at you.
Do y'all have anything you want to plug? Is there anything, any projects we can tell anybody about?
If you want to hear more of Katie and mine's beautiful voices, you can follow us over on Grown Up Kids, a Disney podcast, and Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast. And Friends Watching Friends, a podcast all about Friends.
We're just a podcast palooza over here.
We're insane.
You reached a level of podcasting that I can only aspire to get to. But to all of you listening right now, we can't tell you how thankful we are for your support. It really does mean a lot to us. And if you've enjoyed the show today, please tell a friend about our podcast. Chances are, if you like it, they'll like it as well. Also, let other people know what you think of the podcast by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. If there's anything that made you go, wait, what just happened? Send it in to us, wwjhpodcast@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter at wwjhpodcast and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, it was Agatha all along.
It was Agatha all along.